grateful you are here with us today on It's a Family Affair. Your host, Raquel, and her guests are here to open your minds and hearts to find acceptance in the family you've been given and the ones you've chosen. Through conversations of inspiration, doubt, perseverance, and fear, we all learn to appreciate and find peace in the family dynamic. Let's talk. Grateful you are here with us today on It's a Family Affair. Your host, Raquel, and her guests are here to open your minds and hearts to find acceptance in the family you've been given and the ones you've chosen. Through conversations of inspiration, doubt, perseverance, and fear, we all learn to appreciate and find peace in the family dynamic. Let's talk.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us and joining us. We're always so honored to have you listen in on our show today. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest, Fuding Ching, and we are going to be talking about healing and immersion. Fuding, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's a real honor. Hello, everybody out there. It's a real honor to be talking about this stuff.
Yeah. So, Fuding, I'll give you guys a little bit of background. You know, Fuding, he has his traditional Chinese family. He's in the United States. But he's also become a visionary filmmaker. He's a shamanic artist. And about 25 years ago, he founded Liquid Light Productions, which is devoted to just explore different paths of self-illumination through film and art and seminars. So he really is honed in to how to take creativity and use these family dynamics to heal and help us come out emerged and just better people for our family. So, Fuding, tell us a little bit about your family and your upbringing.
Oh, yes. I'm Chinese-American. I was born here in the United States. However, we spoke Chinese before English, so we had a really big Chinese cultural input from the very get-go. My parents were really proud of Chinese culture. And at the same time, we're the only Chinese family in at the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles at that time. So
oh, wow.
When I was in grammar school, they had no idea what's a Chinese. You know, so I got introduced as, we have a new pupil in class. He's a mongoloid.
Oh my goodness,
what's a mongoloid? You see, they're yellow people. And it went on like that. I mean, they didn't have any clue. So mm-hmm. I always felt a little an outsider, let's just say. Well, I knew I was an outsider. But that was fine. Along with that, though, my own family, we had a very difficult childhood. I had a very difficult childhood upbringing with, family problems. My grandfather was a real alpha male, powerful guy, mayor of Canton, ambassador to various countries representing China. However, all his power, when it got turned into the family, it just broke us up, and we had to go to foster homes and all kinds of stuff. So all in all, out of this distress, this unrelenting torment of the childhood, it got me thinking, like, first I tried to be real successful outwardly. So in college I was doing really great in architecture, won a competition, the prize was a free year's travel in Europe. I mean, amazing. However, as much as I traveled, I could not run away from that hole in my heart, the unresolved problems of my upbringing. And at one point in college, it was so bad, I was so depressed, I thought to myself, like, I better find a solution or I'm going to end up dying ahead of my time by accident or whatever. And so luckily I found meditation. And this is the first time I turned the gaze inwardly and there was a glimmer of hope. I mean, there was still a lot of work to do, but finally I had some clue like where the real solution can be. And as the years went by, now I'm meditating up in the Himalayas, and now I've quit my profession and said, you know what, my life is going to be a seeker. And I had read Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yoga, and I was so inspired. I said, no, I'm going to be a seeker, and just really went at it. And so I had a lot of experience in Eastern thought, including the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, you know, involving levitation and all these superordinary powers. And so when you get certain direct experience of such things, whoa, it changes your life. However,
yes.
the ultimate thing that really woke me up was working with Don Miguel Ruiz. And the teachings, of course, for sure, and also a power journey in Teotihuacan, where the giant pyramids are. And so now, I mean, that there was a big ritual, jump to the sun, which really did it for me. And I just, from then on, nothing in my life has been quite the same. I just woke up to what's what. And now when I look at the adversity from my childhood, thank you, adversity, for kicking me onto the path, because it's yielded such treasures. I can only be grateful now.
Wow, that's, you know, being able to thank adversity is huge. That's a lesson, a life lesson all in itself. So, thanking adversity. You know, Fabien, you were just talking about college, and you were talking about how close, you know, you were depressed and how you really had the thoughts like, whoa, if I don't fix this, if I don't adjust this, you know, I may die before my time. What was that breaking
point? Oh, I had been desperately trying to find a claw my way out of my own malaise. I knew I was depressed. I would sleep 16 hours a day. And if I tried to study, I'd wake up in the library with drool all over my book because I had just fallen asleep once again. And I thought, I got to find something. And I was reading and reading, and a lot of wonderful books from Chinese thought, you know, like the Tao Te Ching, and I read a lot of Eastern thought type stuff. But in college days, at least for me, even though I understood it intellectually, that was not where the action was at. I understood everything, but that didn't seem to get me out of my pickle. And so somewhere in there, when the meditation came up, it's like the thought kept saying, just do it. It's not about thinking, because you can think your way through meditation and never meditate and think you understand it. No, just do it. Then you will have that experience, a little voice in my head. So I did. And then for the first time in like years, I had a relief, a moment of relief, maybe 10 seconds of relief. Like for a moment, I forgot about all my problems, and I was just in this other state and I didn't even have a definition for. And as years went by, it got more and more stronger until I knew that, wow, meditation, by turning my gaze inwardly, so I didn't like this, I didn't like that, I didn't like the government, I didn't like the FBI taking me in because I didn't want to kill people in Vietnam, or, you know, as a conscientious objector. There was so much I was angry about and judged. You know, how can this country do this? What did I do to them? And all that kind of, and look at my family, blah, 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 blah. And then when the meditation started, I realized, wait, there, instead of 30 culprits out there to judge, there was only one culprit, my own judge. And it kind of woke me up. You're like, whoa, if I could get the guy, that little judge in my own head taken care of, wow, that'll take care of all the tentacles, so to speak, you know, that influence my career life, love life, and everything. No, it's not out there. It's in there, inward.
That is such a key, and I hear it over and over and over again, where people like yourself that have come to those points, finally, there's a huge sense of responsibility, of personal responsibility for yourself, and it's not with judgment, it's not with anger or anything like that, but it's a personal responsibility for your happiness. So to go inward and reflect on what's making you angry and being able to dissolve it, it's so, so huge.
Isn't that a big one? I think the greatest adventure anyone can embark upon is to look inside.
It's the scariest. It's the scariest, too. So we're coming up on a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to It's a Family Affair on Vivid Life Me, and we are here sharing stories and lessons with Fuzing Ching, author of The Map of Desire. So we'll be back talking about more keys to heal family wounds and how we can use these lessons, as Fuding is saying, to become and to be strong enough to be able to shift ourselves so that we are thanking adversity. We'll be right back.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life
It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
We want to welcome you with open arms to our family, to our tribe. We know that there are many ups and downs with family. Raquel Benavides' Facebook page, It's a Family Affair, offers encouragement, laughter, and solid advice as we all go through this process we call family. Come hang out. Share your story.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's a Family Affair. We're here with Fuzine Chang, and he is the author of The Map of Desire, and we are talking about healing and immersion and coming in and being thankful for the adversity we may have had with some of our family situations. So, Fuzine, welcome back.
Yes, yes, yes. Here we are.
Here we are. You know, you were saying some things, and I'm just going to change directions. I hope my producer, Shane, doesn't get upset with me, but you know, you were saying some things on the break, and we've been discussing, you know, how we can heal from our upbringing and how we start to begin to think adversity. And we're talking about this in the entire family dynamic. But you said something really important to me in the break that I want to share with our guests, and you were talking about both of your grandfathers and how powerful and strong they were. So, Let's talk about men. Let's talk about men healing in that family role, because you said very clearly that they validated that you could have this successful life and not be happy. And a lot of men do that. I think, you know, a lot of men are searching outward. So can you dive into that for me?
Yeah, yeah. Both my grandfathers are pretty prestigious. On my mother's side, he was the consultant to the Empress Dowager. And what happened, he was a doctor, and he happened to speak English, had friends in England, and studied in Hong Kong in addition to the Chinese holistic medicine. And so when the Empress Dowager got really sick and nobody could cure her in the Forbidden Palace, and then they were desperate, and they said, well, why don't we try this guy? He knows Western ways. And the Empress Dowager, as many of you may know, is like just completely very against outside anything, you know, China is it and nothing else in the world exists, kind of a thing.
Yes.
But because she was in such pain, she said, okay, I'll try this Western guy, this Western doctor. And lo and behold, he healed her out of this painful liver ailment. And then from then on, he said, oh, from now on, you don't have to kowtow when you come into this building. You know, that's how they did things. And he had a lot of wisdom to him, this grandfather. And so eventually the Empress Dowager asked him to be a consultant and led delegations to represent China to England, France, Russia, Italy, all the big countries. And so that was his role. And then the other grandfather was mayor to Canton, right-hand man to Chiang Kai-shek, ambassador to various countries. And so what I got from it was, even though from the very get-go, of course, we knew the backstory of our family and my mother and father's parents, but what I experienced, and it took me a few years before I put it together, is that in spite of all that outer success, thanks to the grandfather on my father's side, not on my mother's side, he was really great, but he died real early, and I never met him. He died in China, and I was brought up here. But the other grandfather I did meet, and as powerful as he was a terror when it came to our family. And so he was against my mom for, anyway, very complex reasons. So somehow something got turned. And so it was like an archetypal patriarchal versus the matriarchal kind of society. So my big, powerful grandfather was just going at it against my poor mom, who was at that time when he got into the family, was just in her, you know, early 20s, just got married into this family. And then in old China, like they think of daughter-in-laws as servants almost. You know, they don't really respect them. They only need them for male heir this kind of thing caused untold hardships in my family. We had to move constantly. My mom had to get into migraine headaches, so that she had to go to hospital, and then all her five kids had to go into three different foster homes, and you know, it was a big mess. And the takeaway for me was that it doesn't matter how successful you are or aren't in the outer world, the real action is the inner world. Like my grandfather, who was so powerful, it didn't make him happy. It just made him more angry because, for whatever reason, you know, his career got thwarted when the communists took over, and I guess he took it out on our family or something, but he was really tough guy. And so it's the inner work. That's really where the action's at, and that's one thing. It was a big takeaway for me in my kind of crazy childhood upbringing.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that this dynamic of inward versus outward, and men, I think, in general, it's a little bit easier. You know, you and I are part of, you know, we're involved in this spiritual aspect, and we do teachings and things. It's so predominantly female. Females come out, and they're happy, and, oh, they want to get in touch with their deeper side. But men hesitate, and I'm sure you've seen, but I
think that's so true.
So needed. So how do we encourage men? I mean, I love the men in my life, and I was just having a great conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about how these characteristics are placed on men than placed on women. And so if a man is kind and tender and considerate, he's looked at as like, oh, you know, you're a wuss, you're soft, and he's kind of downplayed. I don't think that's necessary. So how do we encourage our men to come that full circle like you did?
Oh, yes, like that's a really great question, because what you observe I found too, like generally speaking, I've been teaching since 95. About two-thirds of the people that come to my workshops and classes are women, one-third men, generally speaking, over all these years. And I've noticed that same thing with Don Miguel's groupings and so on. In general, it's like that. And so a lot of times when I have less men, I would tell the men just right off the bat, as I've done to many other groups, and say, look it, when we're talking about the whole man, a man in full, well, they have to have not only the male prerogatives in good order, but also the feminine, female prerogatives in order. A man, in other words, within each person, we have male and female elements. The energy, if you think of the energy, the feminine energy and the masculine energy. So I would talk to them like that. And, like, it's only in recent times that the man had to be never show feelings, be a lone survivor, or, all the movies that have been crammed down our throats about the lone male guy who can save the whole world. You know, that whole myth. This is John Wayne or Clint Eastwood in the old days, and, you know, the lone gun kind of a thing. Boy, that is so false. And so a lot of times, like I would say, like in China, they have a big, with all the martial arts and kung fu and all that, there's a saying, never trust a warrior who does not know how to write poetry. It's inherent. Isn't that great? It's inherent in their idea of a complete man that the feminine qualities have to be in that man as well as the male qualities. And that goes with women too. So we want to be both. We want the balance of the male and female energy. You could even say that in the new society being born, some of you may know in the Toltec tradition, for example, the birth of the sixth humanity. It started out with 2012 that just passed by. And the new humanity, one of the characteristics is the balance between the male and the female energy. So when I talk to the men in my group and I say, hey, to you men, you're only five of you here and 15 people or whatever it is, and I say, I just want to congratulate you for doing this because you are stretching the boundaries of what is typically considered a man.
Absolutely.
You are going into the spiritual, the artistic. All these require the feminine aspect, so to speak, right? Feelings. If you, like, since I'm in the art world a lot of people are filmmakers, artists, and so on. And I say, if you don't do artwork that makes people feel something, that artwork's not going to go anywhere. You got to feel something and have the ideas, etc. But you must have some feeling. Well, feelings is all in the realm of the feminine energy, you know, we're talking about, regardless of gender. So the feminine energy actually holds all the greatest things that any human being on earth can experience, like awe and wonder and love and peace. These are all feelings. These are all within the domain of the feminine. So you definitely want to connect with your feelings if you want to be happy. If you don't, you'd be like, I don't know, Michael Jackson. Look how great and famous and moneyed and all that stuff, but didn't seem to make him happy.
Yeah.
You know, no, you have to go address your feelings. And so I've been doing this actually in individuals and in families, and it's been working out like great. The healing, that's really where the action's at. You know, your deeper inner feelings, psychology, all that, inward, the inward man or woman, that's really where the action's at.
Yes. So, you know, I understand you do retreats that are specifically for men also, and I want to talk a little bit about that because you have a something coming up with Atzilut HaRuach, and you mentioned it earlier about how much it opened you up with going to this retreat and visiting the Atzilut HaRuach, which the translation of it is where man becomes God, and talk about finding your inner self. So tell us a little bit about that experience and how men can benefit and the transition and how empowering that is for men.
Oh, it's so perfectly set up. Teotihuacan, as you said, is a place all designed for self-transformation. The mastermind behind that, that sage commonly called the smoking mirror, he set this whole thing up. So when you experience it, like I'm leading a group in June that's coming up, and it'll go from June 16th through 20th. June 20th, that's summer solstice. So we'll do all our rituals and everything, and then we'll end up in summer solstice on top of the Pyramid of the Sun. So it'll be an auspicious time and an auspicious spot. It's a power spot as any, you know, Teotihuacan. And that's where we do our journeys. Or we call them power journeys. It's like a workshop among the pyramids. And through shamanic techniques, we can there's tremendous power locked into those stones, the giant pyramids and the quads and all that. And we unleash that power to go through you, so to speak, for your own transformation. So the whole place is all set up for your own transformation. Now, how does it affect men and the male and the female, that aspect? For me as a man, or any of you men, among and anybody actually, but since we're talking about energy, there's the male energy and the female energy within all of us, and we want to get a nice balance for it. So how Teotihuacan can help us do that is, first of all, there's minimal intellectual talk. That's not really where the action's at. When you do a ritual, you are officially saying, I'm going to put my ego and my reason aside for a moment and directly talk with my intuition and my heart and spirit. You know, so it is a formal declaration of saying, spirit or my illumined self, please come in. And then we do our rituals. And that's how Teotihuacan will be conducted. You'll be set up to do this, so you'll know what to do. But you will definitely be counseled to go with your feelings, with your intuition, with your heart. These are all within the domain of the feminine. So if you go through Teotihuacan, you're going to get a, you know, big jolt on that side, which actually turns you on to all the greatest things that any of us can want, like love, peace, freedom, awe, wonder, all that is in the realm of the feminine. And Teo will just address that directly.
Oh, wow. I mean, Teo is phenomenally beautiful. And in this way, I think it's so important that men understand to open themselves. So many times they want to be the best for their family, and they do it financially, physically, outwardly. But when they are in really being the best version of themselves, which is all-inclusive on that feminine side, that is really the biggest gift that they can use to heal themselves to begin that in-depth relationship with their family, whether it be their wives, whether it be their mothers and fathers, whether it be their children, stepchildren, whatever that may look like for them. So that is definitely very, very powerful. So, Fubing, unfortunately, we're right at the end of our show. I want to thank you so much for sharing this time with me. I know you and I can discuss lots of fun things with our following and our listeners here. If any of you are more interested in Fubing's work or even want to share with some of the men in your life, or if the men out there are listening and you feel inspired to engage with Fubing on any of his trips or his career, he is very supportive in that way through his shamanic tools and many of his Eastern tools. You can connect with him on Facebook at Fubing Chang, and you can also go to his website, which is on the Map of Desire. So it's www.mapofdesire.com. You can
and
always
also
reach
they
out
can
to
go
us.
To my website, Fuding
yes.
at FudingChang.com.
Perfect.
Fuding is
Perfect.
F-U-D-I-N-G. And then Fuding Chang, Chang is CHENG.com. And then they can find information about this wonderful trip to Teotihuacan and my book, Map of Desire, which is getting really wonderful reactions now. So between the two,
awesome.
Two of those things, you should be able to find a lot of nice info to help you in your growth.
Great, great, great. And so you guys can also connect with him through our Facebook on It's a Family Affair. We'll have this interview posted. And you can share it as much as you'd like. Fubing, again, thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. We're going to have our guest, Barry Goldstein, and he'll be talking about music and heart and how to create a sacred space in our family for our family. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Much gratitude and appreciation for sharing this time with us today on It's a Family Affair with Raquel. Take time this week to fill your own family in love and acceptance. And remember to take care of you. You can't give what you don't have. If you'd like to connect with Raquel, just reach out on It's a Family Affair Facebook page. Until next week, much love always.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.